All right, today being the 26th day of January 2025, so we want to look at our Sunday school lesson today. We are going to do part two of this lesson, the wisdom of godly discipline. The wisdom of godly discipline. Now, on last Sunday, we began this lesson, and I started out with God's discipline and how God disciplines His children, how God deals with discipline, and how that Solomon, through the Word of God and the wisdom that God gave unto him, gave ways to that he gave, he showed us ways that God disciplines His children. And you know, God disciplines His children because He loves us. And He wants us to continue to do right for Him. But I want you to see today that God's discipline also leads to parental discipline. That is something our world is not accustomed to today. It's trying to get folks to think that, listen, just because you're a parent, you can't discipline your children. You can't teach them right from wrong and things like that. And boy, we've seen the results of that in our schools today, have we not? But I want us to look today at point number two in our lesson outline of parental discipline. And I want us today to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, verse number 1. Now, Solomon's observations of God's love and restorative discipline caused him to realize the need to encourage parents to do the same in their parent-child relationships. And you know, if you love your children, you're going to want to help them, guide them in the right direction. Listen to me today. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And many people have gotten to the point today that, well, I can't discipline my child. I've just got to let them go and let them make their own decisions. Many times, folks, when we let children make their own decisions, they choose wisely or unwisely, and they harm themselves before they realize that what they're doing is not good. And folks, we need to be the ones to help show them. Now, you'll remember, we looked at this last week, and discipline is guidance to help folks to go the right way. And I want us to see here today, I want us to see, number one, the responsibility of parental discipline. The responsibility. Solomon here shows us three different ways to incorporate that responsibility. All right, three ways. Number one, when a parent uses words to discipline a child, okay, don't do that again. This is wrong. The emphasis of those words, it's got to be positive and show them that there is reward for doing right while there is trouble for doing wrong. We have to show them these things. We have to teach them the importance of obedience, okay? We have to teach them the importance of obedience. So I want you to look today with me at Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 1. And here in this chapter, he starts out by saying, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Now, again, I want you to understand the definition, Webster's definition, of what a discipline is. Now, remember what he said last week. We covered it last week. It said it can be punishment or instruction or training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character of a person. It is those things that corrects, it molds, it perfects the mental capacities or faculties or moral character of a person. And if you look at this, that's what he's trying to do. Solomon again used these words, and he used his words in such a manner as to help instruct his son. And he lets him know, "Son, because I love you, I want you to know some things." Now, turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, just a moment. And I want you to look at verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 1. And he looks at his son. I can imagine him sitting there with him and saying, "Now, son, I want you to listen to me. A wise son heareth his father's instruction." Boy, you know what he was saying? He said, "Son, I love you. And I've got something here for you. And I want you to be a wise son." You want to be wise, right? "Well, yeah, Dad, I want to be wise." "Well, then I want you to understand the fact. A wise son heareth his father's instruction." But look at the second part of that verse. He uses some contrast here. And he says, "But a scorner heareth not rebuke." A scorner was one that would make fun of his father. "Oh, Dad, you're old-fashioned. Oh, Dad." The other kids, daddies, they don't say stuff like that. "Oh, Dad, I know what to do." And they scorn their parents. They scorn their instruction. But I want you to remember something today, folks. God holds you and me as parents responsible to properly instruct our children in the ways of God. Listen to me. We can't live like the world and expect our children to come out living for God. Now, that's just a fact. We can't do it. I remember, again, and I've told you this before, but we were trying to get our children to eat vegetables. And I didn't necessarily like vegetables. And I could see it in my children's eyes when I said, "Eat your green beans." "But Dad, I don't like them." "You didn't eat your green beans." "Well, I'm going to." And Mother is sitting over on the side and said, "Yes, Daddy is going to eat his green beans too. Aren't you?" And those eyes are going like this. And you know what? I have learned to love green. I could live off my weight in green beans right now. But I put some red pepper flakes in those things and put some soy sauce on them and a little salt. Man, you talk about good. That is some good eating. Amen. That's good. But you know what? Listen, I learned that vegetables were good for me, okay? But I could not tell my children to do something that I was not doing. Okay? When our children went to school, and other kids did one thing, and our kids did something else, and they said, "But Dad, the other kids aren't doing it." And I said, "Yeah, they may not be doing it, but it's right to do it. We've got to follow the instructions. We need to do what was right." Now, it didn't matter that I was the principal too, okay? I was the principal, and we had to abide by the rules. But you know what? We should have done it whether I was principal or not. And you know what? Our kids had to learn that, listen, we give these instructions because, number one, we want you to be wise. And we have to show them by example. We lead by example. Number two, I want you to understand this. When words do not work, and there are times that words do not work, okay? When words do not work, Solomon shows us here in the scriptures that as parents, there are times when godly rebuke is appropriate toward a disobedient child. Godly rebuke, it's a next stage up, okay? A step away from death. I mean, no. But godly rebuke, listen, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. Look at Proverbs chapter 15. And verse number 5. And Solomon writes these words. Now remember, he was first talking in chapter 13 about a wise son heareth his father's instructions. Look what he says in verse number 5. A fool despiseth his father's instructions. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, godly rebuke is not verbal abuse, okay? That does not give any of us the right to go and cuss out a child or call them bad names and things like that. But what Solomon is trying to help them understand, he's not demeaning them, he's not insulting them, but he's trying to get them to understand What you've done is inappropriate. It's not right. It's foolish in the eyes of God. And a fool is one that what? Says there is no God. A fool is one who says, I'm going to do things my way. I don't believe in God. I don't believe what His Word says. And so Solomon here is showing him that when a parent lovingly but firmly confronts a child's wrongdoings, those words of rebuke can oftentimes be a means of turning that child's heart away from sin and toward godly righteousness. And that's the goal. That is the goal, to restore that child to godly way of living. You know, we're not there to hurt them, to beat them, to scare them, but we want to help them to understand, listen, it's foolish not to want to do what's right. But then look at number three. The third thing is this. When words of rebuke do not cause a child to turn away from their wrongdoing, then the Word of God endorses corporal punishment. That's not capital punishment. That's corporal punishment. What does that mean? Well, go over to Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse number 15. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 15. Where Solomon wrote here, he said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. How many of you know what the rod of correction is? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. When the rod of correction is applied to the seat of learning, there's a change of heart, okay? It's a change of heart. Solomon continued on in that same the very next chapter, Proverbs chapter 23, and verses 13 and 14. Look what he said. He said in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He's going to sound like it, but you know. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know what my dad would always tell me when he called me into the conference room? The conference room was our bathroom. He put the toilet lid down. He sat down on there and he'd pull that belt out of his pants. And he'd always say, son, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. But he said, this is for your good. And I thought, it can't hurt him any more than it's hurting me. But you know what? It did. Because he had to apply that corporal punishment. And you know what? When he did that, man, I was weeping and wailing and carrying on and come out. And man, I was hurting. I remember there were times when they would go out and get a switch. Y'all know what a switch is up here. My grandmother would make me get a switch off the bush out front. And if it wasn't big enough and long enough, then she went and got one. And that's not what you wanted. And I remember her taking that thing and holding it by the end of it and just going like this with her hands and taking the leaves off. Okay? Just pulling the leaves off of it. And she'd get in there and she'd get one that was long and it would be about as big around as your finger. And pop me, and boy, that thing would leave marks on my legs. And, buddy, I didn't even want to go outside my shorts or anything out there. I didn't want anybody to know I'd gotten switched. I'd got a switching. They used to call it a switching, all right? And I didn't want anybody to know I'd gotten in trouble. But you know what? She did it because she loved me. And she would sit there in a chair with that switch on her lap and just watch. And just watch. And if I started to do what I was doing before, she'd just move a little bit and put her hand on that switch, and I'd go right back and I'd say, nope, I don't want that. And you know what? It taught me a lesson. It taught me a lesson. Folks, listen to me. The Bible said here that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We're born with that nature, and it only gets worse as we get older, does it not? And if it's not corrected, and listen, you can bend a twig when it's small. But when the twig becomes a tree, you got to cut it down. And that's not fun. And folks, while the twig is small, we need to bend it in the right position. We need to put it in the right way of learning. And that's what Solomon is trying to get us to understand here. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 just a moment. He's speaking to parents here. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 18. He said, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." My children could see me coming, and they would start crying. Okay? I never will forget my son. When they became 2 years old, they were no longer allowed to stay in the nursery in the church we were at. They had to sit with us. They were the parents' responsibility. Okay? And my son, we would take crayons and we'd take some blank paper and let him draw the preacher preaching and the choir singing and color it in. And we'd bring some Cheerios and things like that and let him just enjoy it while he was learning. Okay? And then the drawing was to help him pay attention to see what's going on. Draw it out. Put it on a piece of paper. And never will forget it. Well, he just wanted to cut up that morning and wanted to fuss and carry on. And he was pushing my patience pretty far. And I told him, I said, "If you don't sit up straight, Dad's going to have to take you out and give you a spanking." "Okay, okay." And he would start coloring and he'd start cutting up again. And then he'd start picking on his sister or doing something else. I said, "Stephen, honey, don't do that." He just smiled. That got on my nerves. And it finally got on my last nerve. I said, "All right, that's it. We're going out." And I picked him up. Now, he was only about 2 and a half, maybe going on 3 years old. He spits out that pacifier, and as I'm carrying him out, I'm sitting up near the front of the church, going down the aisle, and he's screaming, "Somebody help me! Somebody help me!" I said, "Hush that up right now. Be quiet. Hush." And I've got him in my arms like this, and he's pulling out like this and saying, "Help me! He's going to beat me! He's going to beat me!" That just made me even madder. I mean, and I never will forget getting him down to that bathroom, and I tore his little backside up, and I said, "Stephen, that was not nice." "It's not nice for you to hit me." "Oh, good night." But you know what? They try you, don't they? But you know what? We are to chasten them while there's hope. Listen, we can teach them the right way. We can teach them. And sometimes we even have to chasten them. But why do we chasten them? What did God say about this? "Despise not the chastening of the Lord." Why? "Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son." God did it because he loved us. And he wanted us to do the same thing with our children. Listen, go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment. Hebrews chapter number 12. And in Hebrews chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 5, we're going to read down through verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 5, beginning there. And the writer of the book of Hebrews said this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, look at this, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. But it was never a fun thing to get chastened by your parents. It was grievous. But look at what he said. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's a purpose for godly chastisement. And it's our responsibility as parents to make sure with our children, even with our grandchildren, that we teach them the right way to go. And Paul and Solomon is showing us this. Now you say, well, preacher, if I do that, what are the results going to be? Well, let's look at it. Let me say this, first of all. Responsibility always yields results. Responsibility yields results. But let me also say this. So does the lack of responsibility. It also yields results. Responsibility yields results, but the lack of responsibility also yields results. Now look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter number 29. Solomon speaks about this, and he writes here in this chapter. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 15. He said, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Boy, is that a true statement or not? We look at our society today. There are many in our land today where the homes, the houses that have children, father is nowhere to be found. A lack of responsibility is bringing forth bad results. And then the mothers are trying to bear the responsibility of things that they're not supposed to be having to bear the responsibility for doing. And so what do? They don't do what they're supposed to do. And we see the lack of responsibility bringing forth bad results. It brings that mother shame. We saw on the news the other night, a young boy, just early teens, shot and killed somebody down in the Baltimore area. Shot and killed somebody. And the mother is out there crying. He's got no dad at home. He's a good boy at heart. And yet, the boy was caught. He got mad at somebody. Shot and killed him. Shot and killed him. Folks, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And what Solomon here is trying to point out is the fact that parental discipline will indeed help a child. It is there to help a child to avoid foolish living and foolish mistakes, which can later on ruin their lives. And he's trying to help that parent, to help that child to grow up and to be a wise son or daughter, to help them to be wise. And if a parent will administer godly discipline to a child in a consistent manner, in a loving manner, in a way that exalts Christ and helps that child's going to learn how to apply truth to his life. And he's not going to bring his mother or his father shame. It won't happen. And that in itself will help that child to grow up to be a much wiser and more responsible and spiritually mature adult than just leaving that child to do whatever he desires to do on his own. Listen, if I'd been allowed to do whatever I want to do on my own, I probably wouldn't be here today. You may not have been here today if you had not had a parent or somebody to try to show you what's right and to do what is right. Proverbs 29:17, while we're there in that chapter, go down two verses, look at verse number 17, and look what the Bible says. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. How many of you parents have ever sat up at night worried about your child because they wouldn't do what they needed to do right? You ever worry about that? Solomon says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. There are good results when you do discipline correctly. So we see here the responsibility and the results of proper parental discipline. But then we've seen, in what we've looked at so far, we've seen godly wisdom. We've seen the responsibility and the results of proper parental discipline. But now I want to look at this. Number three, self-discipline. Wow. Self-discipline. This is where the rubber hits the road. Amen. This is where the rubber hits the road. The ultimate purpose of discipline is to not only help a child to come to know God's truth, but it is also to understand, for them to understand and apply it in their own personal life. Okay? It doesn't do me good for my dad to say, son, there's electricity in that plug, so you need to be careful of it. And I don't apply that, and then I go and stick a knife in there or whatever. Boy, my son learned that the hard way. I mean, he learned it the hard way. He saw me taking the screwdriver, okay, and taking the plugs off and fixing things, and he thought he's going to do the same thing. I told him, Stephen, honey, never stick a screwdriver or anything like that inside that plug. Well, he just wanted to find out what would happen, and he did. And boy, it was a shock to him, let me tell you. Literally. But the song we sing many times, Trust and Obey, it says trust and obey. The two go hand in hand, a hand in a glove. And God's word tells us to observe and do. Observe and do. And so Solomon taught that a child who will take heed to proper instruction, they will mature and they'll become a self-disciplined adult, and they will in turn bring joy and gladness to the heart of the parents and unto God. And unto God. Now, look at the reminders that he gives us here. Let's go back to chapter number 1 of the book of Proverbs. He starts out this book of wisdom. And he said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay? Hear us. Listen to what we're telling you. Now go over to chapter 4. Okay? We're back over to chapter 4. And look at verse 13. He goes on there to say, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction is important to you. Hold on to it. Take hold of it and apply it to your life. Then go over to chapter 6 and look what he said. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now look at that. The commandments of God is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And then he reminds his son of the value of instruction. turn over two more chapters to chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, verse 10. He said, "Son, receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." What is he saying? There is a value to the knowledge that I'm teaching you. There is value to the instructions that I am giving you, and it will be far more valuable than any amount of money that you can ever make in this world. Instruction, the value of it. Go down to verse 33 in that same chapter, chapter number 8. He challenges his son then. And he says in verse 33, he said, "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not." How many times have you tried to give a child or someone that you love instruction and they refuse to accept it? It hurts them. It breaks your heart. Why does it break your heart? Because you know the results that are going to come forth from their refusal to accept wise instruction. So all of these things are given because Solomon says, listen, as parents, we need to love our children. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to instruct them in the ways of righteousness. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. When our pastor stands and tries to teach us the ways of God, and we hear it in this ear, and we say in the middle of our head, "I don't like that preacher," and it goes out the other side, you know what? Pretty soon you're going to reap the results of refusing wise instruction. You're going to reap the results. Look what he said in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 18. Solomon teaches his son here. He said, "Son, I want you to understand something. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." Do we not see that in our world today? Folks who have received instruction, they've heard it, but they refuse to accept it and apply it in their lives, it leaves them empty-handed. Folks lose their jobs because they refuse wise instruction. "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." But look at this. "But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." He shall be honored. So Solomon here is teaching that a person is doing themselves a great favor by accepting godly instruction and then applying that instruction to their own personal life. Why? Because they know that a person will never truly find fulfillment of life or contentment, okay, or even satisfaction in living an undisciplined and self-centered life. I watch these folks that have lived a self-centered life. It's only about them. They don't care if they hurt anybody else. They don't care if they honor their parents or they honor their family or they take care of their own family. It's just them. It's me. It's all about me. And you know what? I watch and I see that a person with that kind of attitude is never satisfied. They're always looking for something else to fill the gap when what they need is this book applied in their heart, and they refuse it. They refuse it. So Solomon reminds his son here, "Son, don't refuse wise instruction." And then he gives them and he shows them the rewards. Number one, what are the rewards of self-discipline? What are they? Let me show them to you very quickly. Number one, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. What are the rewards of self-discipline? Number one, it's a long life. Long life. I remember Bill Cosby. He told his kids one day, he said, "Son, I helped bring you into this world, and if you don't listen to me and do what I said do, I'm going to help take you out." Now, what was he saying? He said it jokingly. But you know what? God rewards self-discipline. And one of the ways he does it is with long life. Look what he said. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Here's the rewards. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, very next chapter, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Long life, he says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction is your life. And listen, it's not only long life, but it is the opportunity to be seen as a wise man in the later years of one's life. You know what? When your kids grow up, they look back at you and say, wow, my dad was smarter than what I ever thought he was. My mom, boy, she was a wise woman. If she stayed in the book, she was. You know what? If dad stays in the book, he's a wise man. But it takes a long time for kids to see that, doesn't it? It takes a long time sometimes. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 again. Listen, what are the rewards for self-discipline? It's an opportunity to be seen as a wise man in the later years of your life. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. In other words, if you hang with the wrong crowd, you're in trouble. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Go over to chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse number 20. Look at this one. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction. Solomon's talking to his son. Hear my counsel. Hear and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know what he's saying to his son? Listen to my words, son. I'm teaching you some things you're going to need later on, because when you get married and you have children, then they're yours. Okay? How many times have our kids, my daughter especially, she'll call in the morning and they're asking, Mom, such and such did this. What am I supposed to do about that? What would I, well, what did we do with you? Yeah, I know what you did with me, but do I need to do that with them? Well, do you want to keep putting up with that? No. Then, yeah, okay, Mom, I'll do it. Okay. Hey, listen, so that they can be wise in the latter days of their lives. Look at this. It gives them also the ability to resist evil. Look at verse 27 in chapter 19. Proverbs 19, 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Don't listen to the instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. It gives you, self-discipline gives you the ability to resist evil. But it also gives you respect and honor in your own life. Go back to chapter number 13 again. We looked at this verse just a few moments ago. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But look at the last part of that verse. But he that regardeth reproof, you take hold of it, you take heed to it, shall be honored. Shall be honored. Wow. Respect and honor can be earned with self-discipline. But you know what? I think that the ultimate reward in a life will be that it is pleasing to God to have self-discipline. It's pleasing unto God. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Go over to Proverbs chapter 16. I'm sorry. You're right there in Proverbs chapter 3. I got two places I want to show you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. These are our theme verses for this lesson. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. In other words, when we despise not the chastening of the Lord, we bring honor unto God. It pleases God to be taught to go in the right direction. Now go over to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, Solomon writes these words. The ultimate reward, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. It's taken away. It's washed away. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen. And look at this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen? Boy, you know what? Is that not what we're seeing, beginning to see now in our new administration? When you do what's right, even the enemies that we had say, wow, there's something different about this guy. And you know what? When we do what is right, even those that don't like us will come back and say, man, you know what? I don't like that preacher, but the wisdom that he gave me, I sure do appreciate it. And folks, you and I need to understand today that godly self-discipline, it is a reflection of our submission unto God. Amen. If we're not submitted unto God, there will be no self-discipline. If we're not submitting to His Word and to His instructions for living, we're going to be in trouble. And listen, godly self-discipline demonstrates a favorable response to God's confrontational discipline and correction. Nobody likes to be corrected. But when it's the right kind of correction, it does us good. Amen? Amen? Godly self-discipline leads one to a personal recognition for living holy and in conformance to God's perfect will for their life. And it makes a person to be distinctively different from the world. A person says, I love God, but he never does what God says do. You're not a very good example of being a godly person. We need God's discipline in our life. And folks, listen to me. Today, remember this fact. All Scripture, every bit of it. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God has a plan for your life and for mine, and we need God's discipline. Amen? How do you accept God's discipline in your life today? Receive it joyfully, and you'll get good rewards from it. Do what God said do, and He'll bless it. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love you today. I thank you again for the Word of God that you give unto us. And Lord, sometimes we don't like to take heed to the Word of God because it offends people. And Lord, sometimes it causes us to either be right or be wrong if we don't do what you say do. But Father, help us, Lord, today to be willing to do what thus saith the Lord so that we can reap the rewards of doing what's right in your eyes. Help us, Lord, to love our families, our children, our grandchildren. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll help us to be the right examples before them that we need to be. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.